That I believe he didn't just die on the cross just to let me get out of this world and into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I believe that along with salvation, he makes available everything the Bible says in Romans that I need to be victorious for life, for everything. And so there's no reason to go around defeated. There's no reason to let the flesh dominate our lives. There's no reason that we let this world that we live in. Listen, it's moving fast. Things are happening fast. And that's why I was saying last week, you know, that, and you know this, that if you're not on the solid rock, if you don't have the foundation of Jesus Christ and built on his word, things are going to start coming loose right and left in this world we live in. We spend so much time out there. This world's going to impact. It's going to influence us. It's going to taint us. It's going to drag us down. That's why we've got to continually come to the well of everlasting water that flows freely. We've got to continue to drink every day. We come together and worship together as one another's. Amen? In the body of Christ, all right? You've been standing for a while, so I'm not going to ask you to stand again, but I want to read a passage of Scripture. I'm going to tell you what it is right now. In Romans chapter 15, because we've been doing a series on the one another's, right? See, this is what we feel convicted as we look in the Scripture. We've been studying earlier in the fall about being the church, the called out. What is our purpose? What are we here for? We know we're here for a lot more than just meet in this building a couple of times a week. You know, this is where we come together to worship together, to encourage, to fellowship, to strengthen, to be equipped. The ministry of this church doesn't happen here. It happens out there. We want to be a one another church. We start looking at some of the one another verses, the whole principle of the thing, about how that if you want to be blessed, give, and it will be given unto you, Jesus said. All the one another things Jesus said. And Paul, and we talked last week about the whole key, kind of the foundation of it all, is he says, love one another. Without that, we don't get any further. And we found out it's not just affection. It's not just concern. It's just not feeling deeply about others. It is the love of Jesus flowing through us and spilling out on each other. That love that gives, that love that's unconditional, that love that sacrifices, that love that loves you too much to let wrong go unnoticed and unhelped. Well, today we're going to talk about something else that I was a little surprised how much the Scripture talks about. Sometimes we think we do good with this. Sometimes I think I do, but I don't think I am being honest with God and honest with me. I'm just going to read this passage in Romans. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And then we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, okay? I'm going to throw quite a few scriptures at you. So I want you to keep track. Can you go ahead and bring all the lights up so you can see? And I'm going to read this passage. If you would like to stand and honor the reading where you can, you don't have to. Some of you would like to. Some of you don't like to. Some of you say, we stand too much. I'd like to just sit. That's fine. You're not more spiritual if you stand. But I want you to know we're not just here to be spectators. If you want to stand, people are saying, I just want to stand. Then stand. Somebody says, I just want to sit. Sit. It's okay. Unless you judge each other, right? So if you want to, you may stand while we read this. But what the main thing is I want you to turn to Romans 15 and read with me verse 5. Listen very closely. He says this, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you. Can I just kind of talk about this as we read it? I need that grant. That's something that's out of his resources that he gives as a gift. It cost him, but he gives it. I need a grant. I don't have the resources. We got grant writers around here trying to help us get sick. We don't have the money, right? I was going to tell you, if the Wright County and if Hartville is going to get some things done, we got to have some grants because we don't have resources. When it comes to this, every word of the Bible is inspired, amen? Every word of it, amen, from Genesis to maps. Right? You got maps at the end of the Bible right there. I'm telling you, this is important. This is important. So he don't miss that. That the God of patience and comfort, I need to have more endurance. I need to be more encouraging and comforting. But he's the God of that he would grant me and you, that we could be like-minded toward one another. There's your one another. According to Christ Jesus. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. It means to take to yourself. The English Standard Version does a really good job with that, where it says, therefore, and they just use the word welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Some other translate it, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. Receive one another as Christ has received you. Let's pray. Father, help us today to get the teaching and the message and the moving of your power in us to teach us, to show us. Let scales fall from our eyes, Lord, that we see ourselves as you want us to see ourselves, and that we receive the strength from you to be and to do what you want us to do. May you live through us and shine through us. May you build your kingdom in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Ah, wow. We see the beauty here and the oneness and the unity that we've been talking about that God's called us to. And we know this takes work because this doesn't come natural to us. Does it? I mean, all the psychologists and all the sociologists and all the people in our world today, I mean, they just can't get it. I mean, it's further that we get away from the truth of this book, the more chaos that we have. I mean, you are shaped by your environment, but not just that. Because some of the babies that I see that are in some of the most loving situations, it doesn't take long before the thing that they learn to say before anything else, mine. Mine. Our little precious granddaughters. Curtis, you think that little grandson? And by the way, you guys, if Philip and Cassie move closer, you better watch out for that Dowden boy. I don't know if I want him hanging around my granddaughters, but anyway, I'm kidding. But as precious as that little thing is, my little grandbabies, and you know, they're precious. And the Calvary men are out of town today. We need to be praying for them. I was supposed to mention that earlier. Galen says the same thing about his little granddaughter and all that. But you know what? They're selfish. They are. I hate to say that. But you start taking things away from them, and they throw a fit. You think they're in pain. They're screaming. They're hollering. They're in pain. Give it back to them. Doesn't take them long to figure it out, does it? I think you know what I'm talking about, because we just, that's part of our sinful nature that was corrupted by original sin. We're sinners. It's in us and it comes out, all right? Even early on. So that's our nature. It's a naturally selfish thing. And so the thing that happens is we try to work through that, but when we receive the power of God, one of the incredible things that happen is with the love of God and the power of God coming in our life, that we learn to put others ahead of ourselves, that we learn to deny ourselves, that we learn to truly love and receive one another like he receives us. I mean, it's not just like as good people do, but as God loves us, as Christ loved us, as he receives us, as he accepts us, as he welcomes us. So this is one of the things that marks off the body of Christ as different than everything else in the world. This is one of the things Jesus said. This is one of the ways, I mean, that people are going to know that you're my disciples, remember? I mean, there are a lot of ways, you know, you may carry a Bible, you may go to church, you may do a lot of things, and those are all good. But he said the real way that they're going to know that you're my disciples if you love each other with this love. You remember? In John chapter 13. So this is the thing that we're to do, is he says here, to receive one another. God grant us that power that we can. Now remember, we talked about being one doesn't mean we're the same. Because people in this building, we come from all kinds of different backgrounds. You know? We really do. We come from all kinds of different backgrounds. Been raised by different types of parents, different types of ideas, different types of social. Some of you are country folk like me, raised on a dairy farm. Ain't no point in me trying to act all sophisticated. It takes about 10 minutes somebody figure out, boy, you raised on a farm, weren't you? You know, Mom used to say, you know, us boys get to do it. You know, learning manners and etiquette was very important in our family, just because we're such, you know, hicks that you try to, you know, my grandma, and it was a big deal of them to learn proper etiquette. We don't teach that like we should anymore. There is proper etiquette. It's part of, it's not so much being a Christian, it's being a civilized human being. Remember that? Our kids were little one time. They were fussing and arguing. And that's what one of the first few years we lived here, you know. And twins were getting old enough. And them, Caleb, they were, Gilly, I don't know if she was born here or not. Man, they were just going after and fussing. And I go and say, hey, you guys pipe down. Act like civilized human beings. And Caleb was about 4 or 5 years old. And I turned to walk away and I heard him say, like, what? See, they don't know what it's like to be civilized. God wants it to be civilized. You need to be that. But like learning all the proper etiquette and doing the right thing. And I remember sometimes mom would say, what's the matter with you guys acting like that? Did we raise you in a barn? And one of the worst whippings I ever got from mom, me and Russ both, because I looked at her and I said, no. And Russ said, no. And it was not funny to her. You know, she just didn't get our humor. But we have to, you know, we're just not very civilized. But we come from a lot of different backgrounds. And thing about it is now, you realize there's such a bigger generation gap now than there's ever been. We've talked about that before. I'm telling you, if you graduated high school 4 or 5 years ago, you can't even understand the seniors now. See, used to it was like 20 or 30 years. Now it's just every few year and a half or so. It's just like they're so different. And that's what we're dealing with here. But I'm telling you, the same power, the same gospel, the same truth, the same scripture has all the answers for them that are young as it does to the most aged in this room. Daryl, you didn't say amen. I figured I'd get one out of you there. That's okay. That's okay. We'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. So we're to receive one another. And this gets to be a little tricky. Very concerned about this one another thing. Receive one another. Welcome one another. Because it's not always natural. It's not always easy. A few weeks ago, when we were talking about being the church called out, we looked at, remember, the last sermon I preached on that was called The Final Countdown. In 1 Peter 4:8, he talks about how that the end of all things are at hand. Amen? You can sit on front row, that's fine. The end of all things are at hand. Final countdown. We're reaching the end. And you see that. You look at all the stuff going on. By the way, Clarissa and I got to go to Branson. We just kind of had us a little time just ourselves yesterday. We enjoyed it very much. And thanks to you. I don't know if you know that, but you guys did a nice thing for us. You guys, tickets to Jonah, the big production at Sight and Sound. It's only there through the end of the month. You better hurry up or it's moving out of town. They're going to have another one, Moses, coming in. But have you ever been to those down at Sight? But they do a great job. They really present the gospel well. I really liked it. I mean, it was powerful. And I'm just kicking myself because it took me so long to get down there and see it. They even send stuff to the church. You know, if you take a group, pastor goes free. And I just didn't do it. But I guess I was waiting for you to just pay for it. You know, maybe that's what it was. But we enjoyed it so much. And we had such a wonderful time. We had a great time there. It was a powerful experience. You know, I highly, highly recommend that to do that. But now I got distracted myself. You ever do that? I about forgot where I was going with that thought. Huh? Did you know where it was?
I know where you got to.
You know where I got to. Oh, man. Oh, man. I got to thinking about how thankful I was for you guys being able to do something like that for us. But it was a nightmare down there. It was a nightmare. I think half of America was in Branson. I really do. I think it was just tough getting there and getting out. It was just, wow. But anyway, I'm not sure where I was going. Oh, yeah, final countdown. I remember now. I got it. You were no help at all, but I've got it. What I was thinking of is this just popped in my mind. I should stick with what the Holy Spirit prepared me with. But anyway, I'm jumping out here. We went in Walmart there at that new big Walmart. You ever been to big Walmart? Everybody's in there. And all of a sudden, this loudmouth pipes up. I mean, we're standing over there in the Christmas decoration. And it's like, ho, 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 ho. And it was kind of, you know, we weren't ready for it. And guess who was standing by me? This guy all dressed up, cute. I looked close, I said, that's Dino. You know Dino, piano player? Yeah, he was in there shopping right beside us. And so, anyway, that was cool. But anyway, Dino jumped. When Dino jumps, we all jump. But it was just kind of like, and so he was going around taking pictures with kids. There was a guy dressed up like Santa Claus. But we were over there checking out, and he did it again. You hear what that lady said? She goes, you know, anytime you hear somebody like that, you think someone's going to pull out a gun and start shooting. A lady said that in line. That's where I was going with this. It just popped into my mind, you know. But it is relevant to this because this is the world we live in. I mean, it's just, when would you have thought about that? But when Santa Claus came back in the room when we were checking out in the garden area and started drawing attention to himself, the lady flinched and she said, "I'm just afraid somebody's pulling out a gun and starting to shoot." I mean, that's happened. Has the world changed in the last 5 or 6 years? Last 2 or 3 years, yes. The end of all things is at hand. Got back where I was, yes. And so I'm telling you, verse 7, 8, 9. But he said, end of all things at hand. So here's the thing, you need to be serious and watchful in prayer. So here's all this stuff. What are we supposed to do? The lady's like, what are we supposed to do? Somebody may be shooting. Listen, here's what Peter said that we're to do. I preached a whole sermon on this. You have to go back and listen to it online or something, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, there's three things. Just first of all, pray, be watchful and serious in prayer, and have fervent love for one another. Pray, love, and if you've received a gift from the Lord, minister it to one another. Serve. This verse was part of that sermon. Went a long ways to get there, didn't I? But I'm just trying to pull it all together. This verse was part of that, about serving part. But he says in 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another. And then he goes and really makes it tough without grumbling. Without grumbling. That's the tough part. But that word hospitable, what that means to receive unto yourself, is a similar thing as to receive or to accept or to welcome. And so the true spirit of welcoming one another, this is what he's talking about. I just wish he hadn't said without grumbling. But anyway, he did. So this is what we're talking about, pray, love, and serve. But I want to focus on verse 9. It's the hallmark of the body of Christ, the church. So welcome. Welcome. There you go. You've been welcome. We're done. It said welcome one another. We're pretty superficial in our welcomes. We even try to welcome each other here, and I don't think we do a very good job of it. Anyone comes around the family of God, they need to feel welcome. Need to feel welcome. And as I find out, that's not always the experience. You might think it is, but it's not. You're used to being here. You know all these people. Maybe you've gone to church all your life. You don't know what it's like. You need to think a little bit. You need to put yourself in other people's shoes of what it's like to stumble in here sometime and not really know very many people. And maybe you've never even been in a church service. You don't even know what to expect. How we welcome them. Or somebody come in here that's down and outer, and they're looking for answers, and they think surely there's answers there, and they come here, and all of a sudden, what they get's not what they were looking for. There are all kinds of people like that came to Jesus. You know, you had the Pharisees and the religious leaders that were so legalistic and judgmental, even though they had the law of God. Boy, they're by the book, but they couldn't get close to them. In fact, they wouldn't allow them, even a lot of them, into synagogue, into church. But somehow these people would come to Jesus. Do you think it was because they thought he would condone or go along with their problems and their lifestyle? No, he didn't do that. You don't really love someone if you accept the things in their life that are destroying their lives. But so here's the thing, is that you receive and accept the person, but you don't receive and condone the sin that's destroying them. But at the beginning, it's a package deal. How can you love them and help them? Just remember the woman that was brought to Jesus that was caught right in the middle of an act of adultery. And they were all like, what does this law say? She should be stoned to death, you know, putting Jesus on the spot. Problem was, I like to know what he wrote in the sand. Remember that story? Was that John chapter 8? And the Bible didn't tell us because they want us to just, you know, think about this all these years. But maybe he wrote the names of the girlfriends of all those guys holding rocks. I don't know. But whatever it was, one by one, they dropped with a thud, didn't they? But Jesus didn't say what you're doing was okay. But she found love and she found acceptance. She found a true welcome there. But he gave her something so that she wouldn't have to be in bondage to whatever sin was and things in her life was causing her to look for fulfillment in those relationships like she was having. Deliverance, see? That's the thing. Here's the thing about Jesus. He said this in John 6:37. These are some verses you might want to get down. The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. If you come to Jesus, I'm telling you, you might go around people that call themselves Christians and not be accepted and be judged and not be welcome, but I'm telling you what, Jesus says, you come to me, I'm not going to kick you out. This is the same Jesus, by the way, that the Pharisees, they wouldn't get close to a sinner. See, the thing about us when we do that is we have certain sins that we categorize them as. If you do these things, you're a dirty sinner. But then, lo and behold, Jesus says that they were like this grave that was looked good on the outside, all painted, but inside was full of all kinds of corruption and yuck. They had sin in their life too, but they judged their sin differently than other people's sin. Do we do that? I know I'm not perfect, but it's your stuff that really offends me. Right? We have a list of certain sins that, and there's differences in consequences of sin. I'm not saying there's not. But as far as condemnation, pride, and I tell you, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know what's tearing up most churches and things around here? It's not drugs and alcohol and adultery. It's gossip and pride and selfishness and slander and envy and things like that. That's stuff that we accept. Well, anyway, Jesus was actually touching sinners. Jesus actually went to eat with them. Now, in that day, when you shared food, that was a pretty intimate thing, right? You didn't have just food everywhere like we have. So when someone invited you to sit down at a table, that's fellowship. That's close. And one day he was eating, and here's what some of the Pharisees said. In Luke 15, 2, this is right before he tells these parables, including the prodigal son. The Pharisees and scribes complained. They're complaining about Jesus and said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That's what we're talking about, welcoming one another. This man welcomes, he receives sinners and even eats with them. Someone once said that verse is known as the gospel in a grumble. They were griping about Jesus. They were complaining, but lo and behold, they said that's what the gospel is. Praise God, Jesus receives sinners. Amen, or else I don't stand a chance. But that's our Jesus. Now, most of us have, outside the house, have like a mat to wipe our feet on. It says, what does it say on it usually? Welcome. We have a sign saying, welcome. And so you come, I come to knock on your door and you say, welcome. But do you mean it? Then you come in and you say, hey, make yourself at home. So I go and I raid your refrigerator. I come in, I pick out your recliner. I plop down in it and pop my feet up. And then I just start relaxing, enjoying myself. All of a sudden you say, now, wait a minute, you're going way past your boundaries here. Well, that's what I do at home when I make myself at home. See, because sometimes we say make yourself at home and make yourself welcome, but we really don't necessarily mean it. You know, there are some folks that have got the gift of hospitality and of welcoming. You know what? They make you feel at home. It doesn't matter where you are or how tough things are, they can make you feel at home. And then there's some other folk that make you feel like you wish you could just go home, right? We've got that too. And so here's the thing that we have to think about here. This biblical welcome is different than just our superficial welcoming and receiving and hospitality and all of that. It's a major part of the one another's that we're teaching on. In the spirit, it's the spirit of hospitality that we're supposed to weave into our relationships with one another. And as we go through this study, we're continually reminded of this, as with this one another study. I'm going to put it up here so you can look at it as well as hear it, that our personal relationship with God is connected with our interpersonal relationships with one another. And God says that how we treat one another affects this. You've got the cross, you've got the vertical and the horizontal. I mean, this is the same Lord who said that he's willing to forgive us. But he said, as we forgive others. And it's the only part of the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, that Jesus comes back after he's done and explains. He said, because if you're not willing to forgive each other, don't expect God to be forgiving you. So it tells me something here is hinging on something that happens here. I could go on and on with that, but I think you understand. We established that last week and the week before. Our personal relationship with God is connected with our interpersonal relationships with each other. You know what? The thing about it is, God is saying the way you treat one another, if you want to treat your brother and your sister terrible, and then you want to come cuddle with me, I've got a problem. I still love you. I haven't cast you out as a son or a daughter, but I'm telling you, our fellowship's a little bit breached. It's just like when my kids were little. I loved all my kids. I love them all the same. They're all different, but I love them the same. But if brother is going and sucker punching sister, and then he wants to crawl up in daddy's lap and have some love from daddy, daddy loves him, but daddy's got a problem. You don't treat your sister or your brother that way and come to get some loving from papa. There's a fellowship problem. And that's the basic principle here, that our relationship with God is connected with our interpersonal relationships with one another. And that there is no such thing as church, as being part of the called out body of Christ, apart from one anotherness. Now, I don't know if that's a real word or not, but I'm going to use it. One anotherness. There is no such thing in the New Testament as really being part of the family of God. See, family, that includes other people, right? We've talked about that. Body of Christ, that's all connected, different members. If my hand, this is gross, but if I were to chop my hand off and leave it out here, it wouldn't do so well. It's part of my body. It's a member. It needs to be connected. And it has a function that the rest of my body needs. That's each one of us. So there's no such thing in the New Testament as being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ disconnected from everybody else. There's no such thing. Somebody say, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. That's true. But if you say I don't have to be involved in a local group of believers to be as close and as good a Christian as I ought to be, that's wrong. Because you can't be part of a body if you've disconnected yourself. And so the church is not just a place to hear sermons and sing songs. It's to be an environment where people can be linked to one another while experiencing deeper and deeper connections with God in our lives. Our unity with Jesus Christ is fleshed out in our unity with one another. And so here's the point. I'll put one more up there. If you're not investing in the lives of others, you're limiting your experiential connection with God. If you're not investing in lives of others, if you're not actively working to promote the well-being of other people, other Christians, you are choosing to limit the flow of God's power and God's love through your life. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with Him. I'm just saying you've quenched it. If the enemy can disconnect us from each other, he can limit what we receive from God and experience from God, because God has intentionally connected the vertical with the horizontal relationships. Remember this? Remember, was that last week? 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we talked about how that's not just a said love, it's an action. It's a noun and it's a verb. You've got to show that love. And earlier on, he had said this about the love. If you don't love, then you really don't know God. You're really not right with God. Then he said in chapter 3, verse 17, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So you don't just say that you love it. You can say you love people all you want to, but it's until that love motivates you to do something. It's like we're saved and we're kept based on his grace and our faith in him. It's not our works, but our works come as a result of that faith. Because we have faith, it produces something through our lives and in our lives. It's a fruit. Our works are not the root of our salvation. It's the fruit of our salvation. And the same thing about love. If you have the noun love, you're going to have the verb love. And he says, if you don't have the verb, if you've got what they need and you shut up your heart and you don't do anything, you're lying when you say that you love them. And the love of God's not in you, because the love of God's going to do something. And if the love of God's not in you, then if you don't love, you don't know God. That's pretty serious, really serious. And so every member of the body is equally valuable. As someone said, and I had this in my notes a long time ago, and one of you may be on the hood, one of you guys said this. There's no big I and little you in the body of Christ. And I can't remember if it was Wednesday or somebody said that to me. I'm like, I'm still going to use it. But is it weird how you have these things keep connecting, things being said? And so we got to be hospitable to one another, that each part of the body is dependent on the rest. And if we're going to be healthy, if we're going to maximize what God wants to do in and through our lives, it has a lot to do with it. So in 1 Peter 4:9, he says to be hospitable to one another. Not just a word. It means to kindly receive a guest or a stranger. Biblical hospitality. It involves these things: articulation, attitude, and action. We articulate it. That means we express it in words. You do need to say nice things to people. And I know some have a gift of hospitality, but we can all do this. You do need to be pleasant. Articulate it. But it's got to go beyond that. According to this, it affects our attitude, and it's got to lead to some action on our part. It's got to produce some action. Have you ever been someplace that had poor hospitality? You go to a restaurant, and it doesn't matter how good the food is if they treat you bad. You know? If they treat you bad, if they act like they wish you weren't there. Have you ever been in a restaurant, had good food, but then the waiter or waitress act like they just wish you weren't there? You're a problem. I'm the one going to give you a tip, and I'm a problem? That's not good. You know, no matter how good the food was, if you were treated badly and acted like you weren't wanted there, you're probably not going to go back. And you're probably going to get on Facebook or Twitter and say bad things about them. Be careful about that, because then there it is. It's out there. What about in church? You're hurting. You're showing up. But you got a ton of problems. You got a ton of baggage. Because here's the idea. A lot of times we want to reach people, but we want them to be people just like us. They look like us, smell like us. And I'm telling you, there are people out there that the devil has had such strongholds in their lives that when they come to Christ, we're going to have to really use a lot of members of the body of Christ with different gifts to help them and to train them and to disciple them to overcome some of the stuff.